Well, hello everybody, and welcome to Wednesday night's Women's Bible Study. I have Karen and Megan with me. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Hello.
And how are you guys tonight?
Well,
I'm doing well, but having trouble with my headset.
Well, I'm pleased to have you all join me and all that are in the chat, too. So welcome, everyone. And we're going to, on the Wednesday night Women's Bible Study, are going to take a look at Ruth, which we have done quite a while ago. But I thought it was time maybe to re-look at the story of Ruth. And it's a short book in the Bible, and it's one of two that is the story of a woman, Esther being the other one. And one thing we know about Ruth is that she was the great-grandmother of King David. And if you look in Matthew, you see her mentioned. Actually, I don't know if you see her mentioned, but you see that, of course, if she's in David's lineage, that she is. Yep, she is mentioned in Matthew, and verse 5 of chapter 1. And so we see that she is a woman who has been greatly honored by God, both in that her story is in here, and we see the fruit of Ruth. And it's a story worth looking at. So with that said, I don't know if either of you want to add anything before we dive right in. Chapter 1, verse 1, Karen.
Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab, and the name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Okay. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law.
Karen?
Yes?
That's a good place to stop for
that. Okay.
It just gives us the beginning of the history of really Naomi, and Ruth enters the picture. Naomi, of course, being an Israelite. And during and the story is set in the time of Judges, so it's between Joshua and the time of the kings. And there's a famine, so Elimelech takes his family down to Moab to dwell during the time of famine in Israel. And while there, Elimelech dies, leaving Naomi a widow, and the sons then take Moabite women as wives, and then they die. And so we find Naomi has lost her husband and her sons, and she does have daughter-in-laws, but she did lose her immediate family here. So that's the beginning of the story. That's the stage set, both in the story where we're going to see Ruth and her faith and see its effect on Naomi as we go through. So did either of you want to bring up something there before we move into verse 6?
Not yet.
Okay.
Me neither.
So, Karen, if you would.
Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters with her, in-law with her. And they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept.
Okay, stop right there for a second. So we see that she, in finding out that the famine is over, and that the Lord has visited Israel in giving them bread, she goes back home, basically. And her two daughters-in-law with her, and they head back to the land of Judah. And on the way, Naomi, in verse 8 there, she tells them to return to their mother's houses. She offers the Lord's blessings upon them, and because of their kindness to her and to her children, and prays that the Lord would grant them rest with a new husband, so that they would be taken in, cared for, and have a husband and have a family. And so she frees them to go back, to stay in their own land, and to go forth again, into marriages, and to be blessed in that. And it says there in verse 9, The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And you see that these are three women who have an affection one for another. And Naomi's affection looses them, and we see that, well, we'll just see what it says. Did either of you want to enter in before we move into verse 10?
Well, one thing is that your wording there is that she frees them. And, of course, it was the Jewish law that, which we run into in the story, that if the husband dies, the brother is to take the husband's widow, as his wife. And Naomi here is taking the, she is not holding these two women who were married to her son. She's not holding them to that. She is, as you say, she's freeing them to go back to where they came from.
Yes, that is an important point. We see as we move forward, that, like you said, in verse 11, there were 10 and 11, it says, And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? So, as you said, a brother is to take and raise up seed unto his brother if his brother passes away and leaves a widow without any children. And Naomi makes mention of this here where, she goes down into 12 there where it says, Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. So that's exactly what you said there, Megan, is what Naomi is giving testimony there of. And, even if they were to stay, and even if she was to have another husband, and even if she was to have, you have to figure two sons, that would they wait until those sons were of marrying age? So
they would be in an entirely different generation almost, really.
Yes. And she makes the first statement of, For it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And I know Gail has, if they had no more brothers out of Naomi, would they then go to be wives of next of kin? And yes, there was the kinsman redemption in the Old Testament that would raise up seed unto a man or a bloodline if he died before he had children. It is, I believe, in general, the brother. But, you know, we saw it with Judah, where his Tamar, I think it was, and Davy answered her and said, yes, and you will see that happen, that Judah had a daughter-in-law who was widowed, and he told her to wait, and when another son that was already born grew up, that he would give her to him to wife. And if you go back in and read the story, he didn't do that, and she played the harlot and became pregnant with twins. And when it was made known to Judah, not only that his daughter-in-law was pregnant, but that how she had gotten pregnant, he gives testimony to her having done that, which was the right thing. She was more righteous. So another thing in the chat here, lest we lose it on the thing, Gail, let me just read it down. So, if you have no more brothers out of Naomi, wouldn't they then go to be wives of next of kin? And therefore be obliged to care for her that way? And the answer was yes, and you will see that happen. So she was letting go her own future living. Yes. So Naomi's provision also she was letting go. So twice now Naomi has told her daughter-in-laws to go back to their land and to their mother's house and to find husbands in their own land. As she went back to her land. So, verse 14, Karen.
And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her.
Okay, that's a good place to start. Stop, I mean. So, Orpah took the opportunity and went back home, but Ruth clave unto Naomi. She wouldn't let go and was determined to return to Israel with Naomi. And it's interesting to me in verse 15 where Naomi says to Ruth, you know, behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And that was a true statement because there is the God of Israel. And then there were, you know, other nations had other gods. And the God of Israel, we know, there's a testimony, we saw it in Rahab, we saw it we see it throughout the Bible, is known to be the God. And Naomi is sending her daughter-in-laws back to Moab, whose God is not the Lord. But Ruth refuses to go back and says that Naomi's people will be her people and their God will be her God. And this is a choice Ruth is making because she recognizes and wants to have the God of Israel as her God. And throughout this book, you see her tender love for Naomi, But it's also evident the value Ruth has to be amongst the family and to be counted as the family of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we know that she clave unto Naomi, in a sense, wouldn't let go. But when you see down there in verse 18, when it said, when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So Naomi quit seeking to convince her. But that idea of steadfastly, you know, I looked that up, and it had, and it's important for a couple of reasons. One is because the people of God are to be steadfast in their faith. And we also know that Ruth is a virtuous woman. She's the only woman so named in the Bible, and we see that as we go forward. And both of these things speak of courage. The definition of steadfastly is be courageous, of good courage, prevail. Some of the ideas here, and it's worth recognizing the courage that and the strength with which Ruth chooses God and cleaves unto Naomi and goes back into Israel and makes their God her God.
She's a very good picture of a handmaid or handmaiden. Because she forsakes her, you know, everything that she was raised in. She forsakes her people, so to speak. And you don't see her doing anything that's for herself. You see her cleaving to Naomi. Wherever she goes, she's going to go. Wherever she dies, she'll die, you know, too, and be buried there and what have you. And you see her doing what Naomi tells her to do. You know, go and gather the barley or the wheat, you know, go and glean from the outsides of the harvest, which was right for the poor people to do, and it wasn't beneath her to do that. She went and she did it. And, you know, in all ways she served Naomi. She is a good picture of a handmaid, which of course is the female version of a bond slave, someone who entirely lays their life down to serve the Lord and those who the Lord has for them, you know, over them.
That is, and that is exactly true, and what we all as women should choose to do, and it's something that she did by her own choice. It wasn't something, because there were handmaidens in Israel, but Ruth chose to be a handmaiden. And that's really the choice each of us have. And if you're a man, it would be a bond slave. But to choose Christ Jesus and to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength is to choose to be that bond slave or handmaiden. And in Ruth, we not only see it, but we see the enormity of the blessings she receives because not only of her choices, but something we talked about a lot over the last few months is that need to be quick to obey and to submit. And in Ruth, we see that. And she's a person that every blessing that was spoken to her or to Boaz, we see come to pass. It shows the faithfulness of God to a faithful person. To a humble person, to a person who trusts him, to a person who is content in his provision, to a person that values him. And there's a lot of adjectives that go along with Ruth that I hope will be brought up because she isn't how we naturally are. But when we look at her, she's somebody that we all would want to be like. But she was, as Megan said, a person that did nothing for herself. Even to the point when she received a child, she put it into Naomi's arms. And, I mean, there is nothing in this story that points to anything but a humble handmaiden of the Lord and of Naomi and then of Boaz, too. And it is a right picture of those who have trusted the Lord with their lives.
Another thing, you know, you mentioned her giving the putting the child in Naomi's hand, but another thing is she didn't seek Boaz because she wanted a husband. She went to Boaz in obedience to Naomi. You know, that's what Naomi yes. told her to do, which was a pretty forward thing to do. And, you know, but she was obedient to Naomi. She, you know, she wasn't out looking for a husband.
Yes.
It shows a picture of someone that steps out in faith and courage and perfect obedience and gets all the blessings of the Lord.
It does.
That's kind of what the story of Ruth means to me. And we've been talking about this recently, too, you know, in all the services of that's what we need to do.
Ruth is a timely book to look at, and we see that all of the promises of God become hers because of that. And there's a couple things to remember when looking at Ruth. One is, when I think of Ruth, I see a woman who was satisfied with being a child of God. She wasn't out, as Megan said, to try and gain a husband or something. She was out to be a member of the family of God. And so that, to be a member was satisfying to her. It's what she wanted. So she wasn't looking to be high, mighty, great, or anything in the midst of that. She served faithfully because she had the opportunity to be a part of it, and she was thankful. And she valued it, and she held it in high esteem. And the other thing to recognize is that we see the story of Ruth and the testimony of Ruth and the fruit of her. But to think that she saw it, I'm sure she saw some, but she didn't see her name in the book of Matthew chapter 1, verse 5. You know, she didn't know that the promises that were going to come to David as king, that Jesus was going to, you know, she didn't know these things. We see the enormity of God's blessing upon her. She didn't see it. She saw some of it for sure, but we see the whole picture, so to speak. And yet, she was a person who was thankful and content to be a part of God's family. And all that meant in his provision, as Megan spoke about, which we're going to see, the provision for the poor. And Davy said, I don't think that she thought they would write a book about her. I mean, her walk was a walk of faith, in other words, not sight. And so it has to be, but it was one of faith and service, contentment and thankfulness. So where did we leave off? Oh, and one other thing in that verse 17, where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried, and the Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. She makes a vow here, and she keeps it. So she speaks, and she holds herself to it. She wasn't lying. She wasn't speaking great flattering words or anything. She meant what she said. And the proof is that we know that that's what she performed. So I think that it's verse 19 there, Karen.
It is. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, Is this Naomi? And she said unto them, Call me not Naomi, call me Mara. Mm-hmm. For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her. which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest.
Okay. So they return, and all of Bethlehem is moved. I mean, the word goes out that Naomi has returned. She was remembered. She has returned. And she says unto them that it is her, but to no longer call her Naomi, which I believe means pleasant, but actually Mara, meaning bitter, because she testifies in her own understanding that the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with her. She gives testimony that she went out full, her husband and two sons, and the Lord hath brought her home empty. A couple things about that. First of all, she blames God for this. But another thing is she didn't come home empty. She came home with a daughter-in-law who loved her. And not only does Naomi not speak of that, but there's nothing that says that Ruth was offended at that, which is worth noting.
The woman at the end of the book tell her that Ruth is better than 7 sons.
Yeah.
So she certainly did not return empty. But it's easy, you know, when you think you've lost everything that's important to you, or when you have lost everything that's important to you, it's easy to not see what the Lord has in its place.
I can see Naomi's feeling that way, because she has lost her husband and her sons, and there's a lot of grief going on. And in our natural, the way we are, that's what happens, and it does make us, you know, I can get how she can lose hope in that scenario.
And, you know, that's, Davey wrote, and I just want to read it, says, sometimes God has to take away what we think are blessings so he can give us the real blessing. And that is true. And sometimes in the midst, it's easy. In fact, I think it is how we naturally are, that when we're going through a time like this, like Naomi obviously had lived through, that we take it as a judgment against us. And instead of having hope in the goodness and mercy of God, we receive the idea that we have been judged and found wanting, and this is our lot in life kind of idea. And it is difficult to put that off and believe God's word over top of it. And when you look at this story, Naomi is redeemed, and she is not, God doesn't hold it against her that I see written anywhere in this story, but we see the faith of Ruth. And when we go into chapter 2, it's where you really begin to see it, because Ruth goes out into a field and she haps upon Boaz's field. And we'll read it and we see this whole story, but as soon as Naomi hears whose field she gleaned in, now the hope of that kinsman redemption, the hope of the Word of God is rekindled in her. And it's a beautiful thing. And Ruth didn't go out there looking for that, as Megan said in the beginning. She went out to gather that which was ordained of God for the poor and for the strangers in the land. And that's actually in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 22, if anyone wants to go back and look. And it's the love of the Lord. God's love is evident in this. You see Ruth's love, you see God's love, and you see in Boaz a man who obeys the word of God. It's these three people coming together make for a beautiful four chapters in the Bible. So chapter 2, verse 1 there, Karen.
And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold,
stop
Boaz...
right there for a minute. Because you can see the, you know, talk about the Lord ordering your footsteps. Or in Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Well, here Ruth, completely not knowing it, happens upon a near kinsman's field. He is a mighty man of wealth of her father-in-law's family. And it's not chance.
Yeah, that is cool.
You also see her there in verse 2 saying, let me go to the field and glean ears of corn. You know, she's not sitting around waiting for someone to come and give them food or you know, some sort of welfare thing or, you know, what have you. She's looking for ways to serve her mother-in-law because, gosh, they need to eat. So she's aware of the opportunity and she asks if she can go ahead and do that, and off she goes. And as you say, it's directed.
Yeah. And that is a person that actually believes God for provision. And I know most, if not all of us here in the chat have, can all of us give testimony of times when we have thought that that which, you know, that there wasn't going to be provision. And yet, every one of us are here and give testimony that to this day, God's been faithful to each of us. I mean, I know myself, I didn't have money for years, and yet I look back and I never lacked. I never did without. I mean, I might do without money in my pocket or money in a bank account, but all the things that I needed, I always had. It really is a miracle and a testimony of God's provision. And that all of us have it here. Nobody here is destitute. And yet, most of us, I'm pretty certain, aren't wealthy, and we can stand in awe at the provision of God. But yes, Ruth went forth and took that provision, and that provision was made in through God gave it through Moses for people just like her, people who were poor, which is what Naomi and she were, and strangers, which is what she was. And she was humble and thankful. And she happed upon Boaz's field, a mighty man of wealth. So, verse 4.
And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house.
Okay, you can stop there for a minute. So Boaz comes upon the field and he recognizes, you know, Ruth there. He doesn't know who she is. And you notice that his greeting is one in testimony unto God. The Lord be with you, he says to the reapers, and their answer is, the Lord bless thee. And it brings to my remembrance when we sit down at a table to eat and we give God thanks. And here you see Davy Rhodey Nettis is a pretty girl. Yes, I think that is true. We find out that he's an older man as we go forward. Their testimony in verse 7 is of her diligence. She first comes and she asks permission. And then other than tarrying a little in the house, she has been gleaning since she came, from morning until the time that Boaz asks. So you see, as Megan was talking about, a person who is busy, who isn't sitting back feeling sorry for herself or expecting somebody to provide for her, but she's out there gathering that which the Lord has given her. That's a pretty cool thing. And notice that they give testimony to the fact that she, asked permission. I pray you let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she wasn't presumptuous. She was humble. She came and she asked and she received. Ask then shall receive, that your joy may be full. So then verse 8.
Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto them, Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her,
You can stop there for just a minute. Let's go back up here. You know, right there, verse 8, then Boaz said unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? So he comes and he talks to her, and you know what? She hears and she obeys. I think Megan or maybe Karen spoke about that in the very beginning. Here's the first instruction that she receives. He tells her not to go into anybody else's field, but to abide fast by his maidens, to stay with the maidens that are there amongst the harvesters. And he tells them, he lets her know that he has charged the young men not to touch her, that they are to leave her alone, so that she's safe. And that which is there, the provision, the water, that the young men draw, that's there for her too. So he makes provision for her right there, and he goes and tells her to stay, that she's safe, and for her to partake. And we know that she did this. Take heed, you know what I mean? To learn to listen and do.
He also is saying, you know, stay with the other young women that kind of work for him, because they'll show her where his field is and what have you, and that's the okay kind of place to be for her.
Yes.
Something else that I had wanted to, if I can go back to verse 4 with his greeting to him, to the people who work for him.
Yes.
I was reminded of Colossians 4, verse 1, where it says, Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. You know, there's not a whole lot of testimony of believing masters, but Boaz is one. And so he comes with a believing and a faithful blessing to those who work for him, and they receive it and you know, pray that the Lord would bless him too, because of course everybody's getting blessed. They're working well for him as servants unto a master, and he is being a master who knows that he has someone over him too.
Amen.
That was all.
It is a good point to point out Boaz and that position he stands in, his performance of it. I also wanted on verse 10 there. You read verse 10, didn't you, Karen?
Yes.
Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? Now, we obviously see a woman who is very humble. And, she actually asks him a question, Why have I found grace in thine eyes? She had not anticipated that. But let me tell you, I looked up the word grace, and I've looked it up in the Old Testament before, and it's different than that grace that we know of in the New Testament. But and it's graciousness, kindness, favor. But it refers to a root, which is to bend or stoop in kindness to an inferior. And we see here that Ruth is speaking of that sense, that she does not deserve. She is inferior to Boaz, and why would he even bother to be kind to her? And she's just a stranger, you know?
Can I bring us back to verse 2? You know, here she says to him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes? When she asked Naomi to let her go into the cornfield, you know, to go and glean ears, in whose sight I shall find grace, she said, that was essentially, I suppose, like her prayer. And here you see the Lord's answered her prayer, and she's maybe surprised, you know? I'm not sure. But she had said that, in whose sight I shall find grace. And here she says to him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes, or, you know, in thy sight?
Yeah. Well, I guess, too, when you go down and see the his provision to her, that I don't want to belittle Ruth's faith, because she obviously was a woman who trusted God. But his provision, and we'll find it as we go further, is generous. He is tender to the poor and needy and makes provision for them, not in a kind of socialistic sense, like, you scumbag, you need me to take care of you, but rather she's faithful, she does her part, and he blesses her faithfulness and bestows even more for her to have in abundance. But that's a very good point. She spoke faith, and we see it come to pass. Then she fell on faith. And, go ahead.
Well, another thing is, you see, when he says, whose damsel is this? He knows those people who work for him. He knows the reapers, and so, you know, she, to her way of thinking is, she's a stranger, she's not a Jew, so she is a stranger. But he recognized, I think, you know, when it says whose damsel is this, that she was somebody who he hadn't recognized. He hadn't seen her before. And he cares enough about those who work for him that he goes and he inquires after who she is and finds out, as you see here coming up.
Yes. Verse 11.
And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been shewed me that all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust.
Okay, stop right there for a minute. First of all, I want to read what Davy wrote in the chat, which goes back to verse 8. Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean to another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. He said, by telling her to follow his maidens, he is telling her that she does not have to take the leftovers, but of the best. And then in verse 11 there, Ruth asked him, why is it that I have found favor in thine eyes? And he says unto her, it has been fully shewed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband. He made it his business to find out who she was, and she had a testimony that spoke very highly of her, and that was spoken to Boaz. So he knows that she left her land and clave unto Naomi and came to a land that she didn't know before. And then he blesses. He gives her a blessing. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Now, I read something like this, and I say to everybody, how often has the good things and of the Lord been offered, and yet we don't even hear and don't even receive? The Lord recompense thy work. You know, she sowed unto life and she reaped life. And a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Do we trust God? You know, Ruth did, and Boaz did, and he bestows a blessing that she receives. There have been many blessings that the Lord has had for his people, and they don't receive it. But here we have a picture of a person who, or the story of a person, the history of a person, who did. She was a servant, a handmaiden of God, and her handmaiden service was to Naomi and then to Boaz. You know, when we are told to submit to those who have the rule over us, and when a wife is told to submit unto her husband, and if we want to say, behold, consider ourselves a handmaiden, the service we perform for the Lord is to people. And we see Ruth not only do that, but because she believed God, she was able to hear and receive the good things of God, because this which Boaz spoke to her, she received. It reminded me of Hannah when Eli spoke to her. Eli, who wasn't even a righteous man, and yet Hannah, who believed and trusted God, immediately received it, even though it had yet to come to pass. And we have to believe God. Ruth was a believer. She didn't doubt. She didn't wonder. She didn't think, well, I'm not deserving. She didn't this or she didn't that. I mean, her testimony and her humbleness spoke to the fact that she didn't go forward in some great deservingness. She didn't think that. She wasn't high-minded. But she did know there was a God of Israel, and she was pleased to partake of his goodness and his mercy, and she received it. At every turn, his goodness and his mercy she received. I hope that we will be quickened to do the same. So, Karen, we have about 5 minutes, so.
Do you want me to continue, or?
Yeah, just one moment before you do, because Carter wrote something. He said, wonder how some of the maidens may have felt about the new girl showing up and getting the good treatment right away when the others may have had to serve for a while to get these privileges. How would our attitude be today? And, of course, I think those maidens were right there and may have actually been Boaz's servants. But, yes, they probably, many of them, begrudged the blessing that Ruth received right away and her inclusion in their group, and her having even been singled out. When, you know what? And I say this to all of us, the promises of God are for all who will believe. Ruth is a picture of a believer, a humble, submissive, obedient believer.
Something that you see with the maidens is that they were already partaking of the things that were now being offered to Ruth.
Yes.
You know, how long or what have you, whatever the history, that we don't know. But as you say, the promises of God are for anyone who will believe. And they were already partakers, which was, you know, a blessing. And as you said, you know, how often are the good things of the Lord offered to us and we don't receive them? Or we don't, you know, we receive them at some point and then somehow we get to thinking that it's a justification of us, and then someone else gets a blessing and you, yeah.
That, and sometimes we belittle the blessings. I mean, they were just maidens,
sure,
gleaning the field, you know.
Yeah.
I wanted to find that scripture, godliness with contentment is great gain. Do either of you know where it is right off the bat?
I read it just the other day.
I am looking it up in my Strong's.
1 Timothy 6:6.
Look at that. Karen was looking it up even quicker. 1 Timothy 6:6. Well, you know, that's something maybe to read. And maybe we could just finish. Hold on a second, let me see. I want to read verse 13 because it is her response. So let's read 13 and maybe we'll have time just to read down through that for those six verses in Timothy. So Karen, 13.
Then she said, "Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens."
So there you have her thankful, appreciative receiving of that which was offered to her. And she calls him Lord here too, "My Lord, for thou hast comforted me, for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid." And here's where she identifies herself as a handmaid. And that's a slave, a female slave. And she identifies herself as his handmaid, thine handmaid, unto thine handmaid, and acknowledges his kindness in his favor of her, even though she is a stranger. Yep. So in the chat, it says, in general, you see it every day as to how people's attitude would be. Just look at the workplace and how many times people are offended when they find out what others are being paid, especially new hires. Not the kind of attitude women, or for that matter, men have today. And you know, it's a choice. It's a choice to be humble. It's a choice to trust God. It's a choice to be thankful. It's a choice to hear His word and believe it. So, Karen, we have no minutes. So I guess we can read on our own 1 Timothy 6:1-6. But I shall give the floor to you guys to say goodnight, and then we'll look to finish Ruth next week.
Good night, everyone. God bless.
Good night.
Amen. God bless, everyone.